Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Hi, everybody. How are we doing tonight? I'm really honored and humbled that I have the opportunity to deliver the Mother's Day sermon at two of our services. I do not take this for granted. I'm so grateful to Pastor Ron, all of our pastors, and to all of you for being here tonight. I believe it's going to be a great time, and we honor all the mothers. We love you for what you're doing. I know motherhood is an assignment, because people like me should not, if it was just based off on you being able to carry a child in your womb, I do not have that qualification to stand here and talk to you or any mother in this room. And I believe that the word that God has for us tonight is not just for mothers, it's for every single person in the body of Christ and even the ones that are coming to know him. And so we all have an assignment for you mommies today. Your assignment is to mother children that will transform the world. And before I share what the Lord has for us tonight, I just wanted to take a little bit of my time to share my own personal story. So I have two kids. They are 27 and 25 years old, and I'm 29. So I gave birth to them when I was 2 years old. And then I have a granddaughter, because one of them decided it was time for me to be a grandma. That was not appreciated, let's be honest. I did not appreciate it. But just quickly into my story, like Pastor Ron mentioned, I lost both my parents when I was 12 years old. And the Bible says that when parents die, they should leave an inheritance for their children. And my parents did justice. They left me an inheritance of their own kids. I'm from Cameroon originally, which is in Central Africa. My family was a polygamous family, meaning my dad married more than one wife. He had two wives that he was legally married to. My mother was the other woman that he was not married to, but that was the woman that he lived with. Because in Africa, you don't need to be married to somebody to live with them. So my parents always fought. My dad was an alcoholic. I wouldn't say he was abusive. I think they were both abusive because they battered each other words and physically. It was horrible to the point where neighbors always came into our home to pull us out of the house so that my parents would not hurt us while they fought, because nobody could stop them from fighting. It was expected every night that my dad would come home drunk and my mom would not have it, and one thing would lead to the other. They would fight. So when I was 5 years old, my mom told my dad that she was going to take us on a vacation to my grandma and we will be back. And that was the end of story. We never came back to my dad. I never saw my father again. I don't even know what his name is. I still do not know till this day what my father is called, because he was called by a nickname that I don't even remember, but I know that the nickname was the name of a product. So I don't know my father's name. I don't know anybody in my father's family. My mom took us to my grandma. We lived with my grandma for 2 years, and then when she had herself sorted out, she came back for us. We lived with my mom, and by the age of 9, my mom got really sick. And because the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with her, in America, I think that everything that the doctors can figure out is cancer. Whatever they cannot identify, that doesn't have another medical terminology. It's just you have some sort of cancer. Because we were not in America, they couldn't figure out what it was. My grandparents went everywhere looking for help. And we found out my mom was poisoned by her older sister. Now, there's something I want to tell you, but I'm going to give this responsibility to Pastor Ron whenever he chooses to preach about spiritual warfare and cults and all of these different things. Not everything that the doctor says is cancer is cancer. Some of it is what we call in Africa witchcraft. So my mother's older sister got into a cult. And when you are a part of a cult, just like when we are part of the body of Christ, there are certain things that the Lord expects of us. When you serve the devil, there are certain things he expects from you. So my mom's sister was in this cult that required her to sacrifice somebody's life. And they told her, you could take the sister that is most wealthy. And my mom was very wealthy. She was doing well for herself. The prime minister of Cameroon had built a hospital and handed it over to her, and she was running it. So in the midst of all of that, living well as a single mom, raising her kids, she took ill. But another thing I want to mention is, even though I physically became orphaned later, I always felt like an orphan in my family because my mom was very bitter about her relationship with my dad. So she took out her anger on me. She will always say things like, shut up. She didn't care to hear what I had to say. Everything I said did not make sense to her. She didn't want to have conversations with me. We never sat in the same room. She would beat me. She regretted. So many times she was like, I regret having you. I wish I didn't have you, to the point where I had to sit one of my aunt down at, as young as I was, and I was like, is this really my mother? Do you think I was switched in the hospital? Because I could not believe that anybody would have a child and hate the child that much. It made no sense to me that happened. But you know, the enemy really robbed my family because my mother did not even have the opportunity to become a good mother to me. I did not have the opportunity to experience her the way that some of you might have experienced your parents. Let me tell you something. Families are dysfunctional. It's okay. If your family is dysfunctional, Wakanda, we're together. I get it. I understand. The point of the whole story is so that you know that wherever you are in your life right now, whatever is going on in your life, whether as a mother, whether as a single woman, whether as a student, whatever condition you are in, you are not alone. You are not alone. When you begin to have conversations with people, you will realize that there's somebody else that sits next to you every Sunday going through the same thing, if not even worse than you're going through. And in the midst of all of this, my mom passed away, and my family had to figure out what are we going to do with these kids. For me, my response was, "Whoa, I couldn't be a child because my mom wanted me to be grown up so fast, and now I cannot even be a teenager. I wanted to have fun as a teenager. I wanted to do what teenagers do, right? Text your friends, lie to your parents, and do all of those things. I couldn't do that. Because I had to immediately become a mother to my siblings. I immediately realized that I could not be anybody else because I had people that were looking up to me. Not like I was going to be God in their lives, but I wanted to leave an example for them. And I could not, for some reason, the Lord helped me that how I loved my siblings wasn't a reflection of what my parents did to me because they were treated better. I was like a maid in my family. I always knew my siblings were the preferred children and not favored, but I did not even have the chance to do anything but just love and be a mother to them. And so we're going to look into the story of a family that looked just like mine. Have you ever read the Bible and you said, this dysfunction runs in my family? You read these people that look exactly like your mother, like your father, like your brothers. But the good thing is that in the Bible, if you see dysfunction, God will bring function out of it. Right. So we're going to look at the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, before we go into the word, I want to give everybody an assignment. And your assignment is that you have a responsibility to go back and read that entire scripture because I will not read it for you. I will read portions of it. You will read the entire thing. Your whole life will change. It will not be the same again because that's what the Word of God does for us. So I want you to take that down and read it, and we will read portions of it. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible talks about, before we read that, let me give you a quick, quick background of it. There was this family that was led by a man called Elkanah. Elkanah was married to two wives. Now you know why I said it looked like my family. He was married to two wives. One of them was Peninnah. Peninnah was the second wife, and the first wife was Hannah. And the Bible actually referred to Peninnah as the other woman. So in my family, my mother was the other woman, but there was no Hannah in the picture. So that's the difference. So Peninnah took upon herself to provoke Hannah because Peninnah was married by Elkanah as a way to bring children into that family. The Bible said in some verses of that chapter, it says that Hannah's womb was closed by God. And this is something I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what doors have been closed to you in your family, in your relationships, or whatever thing you're involved in. When the Bible says God closes something, it eventually will say why he opened it at some point. It was closed on purpose. Not everything that is shut from you is an attempt to destroy you. It is an opportunity for you to experience God in ways that otherwise you would not have. The Bible said God closed Hannah's womb, but because Peninnah did not have an understanding of why the womb was closed, she took upon herself to provoke Hannah. And if you read other versions of this particular verse, it will tell you that she did it repeatedly because Elkanah always took his family to a place called Shiloh. Pastor Ron has been there. I wish we could go. We could all go. He took his family to this place called Shiloh where they got to sacrifice to the Lord. But every time this family goes to sacrifice to the Lord, Hannah actually went looking forward to encounter God. It was not just to have a feast to eat and receive portions of what the family was sharing. She wanted an encounter with the Lord because she needed something from God. She needed her womb to be opened by the Lord. But Peninnah did not have that revelation of why that womb was closed. She just knew Hannah was a barren woman. So she provoked Hannah every single year at Shiloh. She provoked Hannah. And I know that in your life, the enemy has stolen things from you. But we're going to settle that tonight. The enemy has taken things away from you, and some of us are contending. Even right now, we're contending for things that he's trying to take away from us, but we know that these are the possessions of the Lord for us, and we're not letting it go. So she would provoke Hannah every time. I don't know what is provoking you tonight, but I know this about provocation. It is an attempt of the enemy to keep you from accessing what the Lord has for you. And provocation comes in forms of lies that the enemy tells you. He tells you cannot become that person. You will never have a child. The devil doesn't give children. So the devil shouldn't speak about whether people are going to have children or not. And whatever the enemy doesn't give you, he cannot even take it away from you. That's what provocation does. Provocation sees a current situation in your life and tells you that's your future. And for some of us right now, you're in places in your life that you see no possibility of you going any further because there's a Peninnah in your life that has taken upon itself, or it's a person that took upon herself or himself and dared to call you. How dare the devil call you what God hasn't called you? Every single lie that the enemy puts before you, it is a provocation. But when the Lord allows you to see provocation, it is because he's extending an invitation. He's extending an invitation to you. So what did Hannah do? Some of us were so busy sometimes explaining ourselves to the devil. He doesn't get it. And he never will. He never will get it. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, in verse 12 of that scripture, Hannah went into the place of prayer. The verses before verse 12 actually explain the kind of prayer Hannah prayed. She was very particular about what she was asking the Lord for. But she did not even ask God for that specific miracle until she had poured out what was in her that wasn't meant to be there. I know people have released words over you. People have said things over you. People have called you by your current circumstance because they have no revelation of your destiny and your future. And what you've done, what we've done, because as from tonight, we're not going to do it anymore. That's what I'm saying, what we did, past tense. What we did before we came into this place tonight is that we agreed with the things that Peninnah has been saying to us. We came into agreement. If you read the entire chapter, you realize that Hannah did not say a word. The Bible didn't say she responded. It's not like she couldn't respond. She chose not to respond because she knew the woman talking to her did not have the power to give her what she needed. And so the woman doesn't also have the power to take away from her what God was going to give her. She went into the presence of the Lord and she poured out. What did she pour out to God? Unforgiveness, bitterness, anguish. You know, she could have been resentful, not just with the person that provoked her. She could have also been resentful to the Lord. Because how dare you, God, not give me a child? She was a good woman. A very good woman. The scripture tells us she was good. That even though her husband took another wife, Elkanah too was funny. He was just like an African man. How dare you take another wife? You know, even though he took another wife, the Bible says he loved her. He loved her more because she was a really good woman. She had every reason to defend herself. She had every reason to tell Peninnah, how dare you provoke me? I was the first wife. In fact, I suggested you should be married. Because women like to make suggestions like Sarah. She could have said that because she had every right to. The husband loved her more. He would give her double portion of everything. And for some of us, we're spending time, we're knocking heads with people that we don't owe them any response. You don't have to answer everything. Just because you have a mouth on your face doesn't mean you speak when God isn't telling you to. You don't have to. We don't have to respond to the enemy. We talk to the Lord. We pour it out to him. She didn't have to explain. She didn't have to say anything. The Bible didn't mention she fought back. But instead, scripture said that after the provocation, she arose and she went into the place of prayer. She couldn't wait for dinner to be over so she could take that provocation to the Lord in prayer. Let me tell you something. When you take a place of intercession, when you take a place of prayer before the Lord, your prayers cannot end up in jail. They cannot end up in the grave. There has to be a manifestation on the face of the earth if you were consistent with it. If you were consistent with seeking the Lord in the place of prayer, she poured out her bitterness, she poured out anger, she poured out the resentment, because this is the thing, a miracle will not sit on a place of impurity. So she poured everything out to God. She did not deny the fact that she was angry. God can handle your emotions. God can handle the fact that you're bitter about favor. He sure can, because whether you tell him or not, he knows. You might as well just tell him. He can handle how you feel about certain things. He can handle the fact that you live in a city where some people are making probably $100,000 a day and you don't make a dime. He can handle the fact that you feel a sense of jealousy, that certain people are occupying certain positions and places in life that you really want to be there. God can handle it. But you pour it out to him first. And verse 12, 1 Samuel 1 verse 12 says that Hannah continued to pray. Sometimes we come to prayer meetings, one time we pray and the Lord doesn't answer, and the rest of the time we're complaining and we say we're praying. You know, you ask the Lord diligently today, tomorrow, the third day you don't see the miracle, the rest of the time we're complaining and murmuring and we're like, he didn't answer my prayer. But it says she continued. She continued in the place of prayer to the point where the prophet thought that she was drunk. The man of God came to her and said, won't you stop drinking? She was like, man of God, are you dreaming? That's not what she said, but if I was her, that's what I would have said. She was a nice woman. I would have said, can't you see? What's wrong with you? I mean, you are a priest. You should even discern that there's no alcohol in the room. Aren't you supposed to be a prophet? But she explained herself and said, I'm just a woman in anguish. I'm just a woman that is pouring her soul out to the Lord. I want you to know that this is a house where the presence of God is hosted and that miracles can happen. And when you come into this place, you take the word of God and you go with it in the place of prayer and begin to intercede. You will see miracles. When she went to Shiloh, she trusted the Lord. People come to church to take selfies and look nice, or people come to church just to sit around. When she went to Shiloh, she was not looking for a double portion of what man could give, but God wasn't given. She went and she prayed and she continued. She continued to pray. When was the last time you asked the Lord one more time about the thing you've been believing for? Because you might just be one prayer, one more prayer session away from your miracle. One more prayer session, one more. Maybe one more seed sowing, one more offering. Boom, the door opens. One more. She contended for what she wanted, for what she believed. Only God had the power and the ability to give to her. She trusted that God was able. She trusted that God was able to release. So when she poured out to the Lord, she asked the Lord for a specific miracle. She wanted a male child. She asked him for something very particular because she had a revelation that Samuel, her son, that she eventually gave birth to, could not be born earlier than he needed to be born. Because heaven was more in need of what she wanted than she even wanted it. God is more interested in you becoming the thing that you want to be, more than you even want. What God is giving to you is what heaven is in need of to use on the face of the earth. And she got that revelation. That was why she made sure that for her womb to bore a man of God, it had to be free from resentment and anguish and bitterness. She made sure of that. And after you pray, there's something called process. God is a God of process. You cannot force that brother to do what he doesn't want to do or what he's not ready. You cannot. Pray all you want. If it's not time, it's not time. But when it's time, here comes the miracle. When it's time, when she prayed, she had to wait for a process. She had to wait for time to play. I don't think she stopped praying. I don't think she stopped believing God. I don't think she stopped trusting the Lord that it's possible. We live in a city where so much is going on. Literally, the entire world is in this place. And when the whole world is in the same place, it means all the demons from the different places are there too. So there's a lot to contend for. The wrong people are sitting in the right places. Something that we want to have so badly, we see other people having. And every day on the streets, in our workplaces, in the industries and spheres of influence that God has given us, we see all kinds of things. The definition of success, far from what God wants success to be. And you can see just feeling so sorry for yourself and said you're never going to become that. It is a matter of time. You have to submit yourself to the process of your making. To the process of your becoming. God doesn't do microwave miracles, because when he does it, sure, even the unbeliever can look at you and say, that was your God. I may not believe in him, but I know that could not have been you. Process gives you an opportunity to position yourself for what God wants to do. Process gives you an opportunity to learn how to steward the miracle when it eventually happens. The devil is not omnipotent. But he's very strategic. And in the process of time, God teaches you strategy to protect what he's eventually given to you. Hannah waited. And the Bible says in verse 20, it said, so it came to pass in the process of time. In the process of time, she conceived a son. In the process of time, I wish she just left and the next day she had a baby. That wouldn't even be realistic. In the process of time, she got a baby. She waited. The enemy uses hopelessness to abort the process. The enemy uses hopelessness to take you from the equation of the answer to your prayers. You may be going through something tonight that puts you in a place that you feel so hopeless because everything seems dysfunctional around you. But this is my story. When everything around you is falling apart, don't fall apart with it. Don't fall apart with everything. Process gives you an opportunity to learn the strategy, to learn what you need. And not just to have what God is going to give you for today, but to leave a legacy of it. In the process of time, you are becoming every single thing that the Lord said you will become. In the process of time, the doors that were shut before you are going to open. I have waited for a moment like this for 17 years of my life. I wasn't waiting that one day I'll become Pastor Ron or Pastor Bruce, but I was waiting that one day God will write a story for his glory. I was waiting that one day people would look at my life and say, she looks nothing like where she's coming from. Because that's the God that you and I serve. Had it been I made other choices, I would have aborted the process. None of you would hear this story if I did anything different from what I did. People would have to hear your story. Whatever arena is barren in your life, we're talking about a God that is able to give life to what is dead and open things that are closed and cause children to come out of wombs that are barren. What can God not do for you? It is only a matter of time. You can't be too tired to keep coming to church. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Every single time you have an opportunity to go into the presence of God, don't remember when you went and you felt like nothing happened. It is just what you felt. It's not what didn't happen at all. There's something that is cooking in the realm of the Spirit. There is something that God is preparing that in the fullness of time, it's going to manifest. And that was a revelation Hannah had when she went into the presence of God, is to realize that I wanted a child, but heaven needed a prophet. Every single person sitting in this room has an assignment from the Lord. Every single person has an authority to fulfill their assignment. And God has equipped each and every one of us by the word that he has given us. Every single word in the Bible is true and able to come to life. If you would submit yourself to the process. If you will not allow provocation to abort your destiny, just the fact that somebody provokes you doesn't mean you have to come into agreement with it. There are things that will not happen in our lives unless we agree. Nobody, my family always wanted me to shut up. I was a talkative. I mean, that's what they said, but I'm an introvert. Innocent me. I'm actually an introvert, to be honest. But everybody said I talk so much. Nobody wanted to hear. If I came into agreement with that, we wouldn't be having this service. It will be this service, but a different service, because it wouldn't be favor standing here. Because I did not agree with what is called in my current situation. I believe in the ultimate destiny that God has for me. There is an ultimate destiny for you. There is an ultimate purpose for you. Refuse to be called by the current. Whatever we're looking at right now isn't just what God is doing. There's more. There's more. There's more. As there was more for Hannah, there's more for each and every one of us. There's more. And this is my encouragement to you tonight. Whatever has been provoking you, God is inviting you. I need you to RSVP to Jesus. RSVP to the place of prayer, because the place of prayer is the place of preparation for you to step into what you are becoming. And when you step into that place, other people get to benefit from it. It's not about us. It's not about us. I'm going to call the musicians and pastor on, because I want us to pray for every single person in this room. Not like we're going to come to every single person, but I want you to rise up on your feet. If you need to come down here, feel free to come. But it's time to shake it off. It's time to come out of the place of provocation. It's time to step into the place where you eventually begin to fulfill the purpose. Pastor Ron has been talking about, the pastors have been preaching about the light of the world. This is something I want you to know about light. I know some people want to pray like me. You don't have to pray like me. See, circumstance forced me to do what I'm doing. I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. But what God is looking for is people that will even pray a prayer that will not necessarily push the door open, but put a crack in the door so that the light of God can come in. Sometimes all you need is not an open door, it's a crack. Whether God closed it or not, God has the power to open it. So I just want us to rise up on our feet tonight. Rise up on our feet and just lift up our hands and begin to release those things to the Lord. I just sense that there are people that you need to forgive, your mothers, you need to forgive. I did not begin to receive the breakthroughs that I've received in my life until I had to look at myself and say, forgive your mother. I forgived my mother. I forgived my family that rejected me because I gave my life to the Lord. And then God began to open the doors, because where he was taking me, resentment wasn't a baggage I needed to carry along with me. Whatever you're believing the Lord for tonight, there is breakthrough in the house. The presence of the Lord is here. He is here to visit you just like he visited Hannah. He's here to heal the broken places in your life. He's here to bring to life what is barren. He's here to bring function and life and love and peace again into your family. The Lord is ready to do something. He says it's only in the process of time. It's only in the process of time. It's only in the process of time. God is making everything beautiful. God is making everything beautiful. He's making everything well again. He's making everything whole again. He's making everything whole again. It is only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. Everything is becoming beautiful. Everything is becoming beautiful. Everything is becoming beautiful. Everything has been made well again. Father God, we just thank you tonight for every hand that is raised high and for every single person in this room tonight that is believing God for a miracle. The Bible said there comes a day where the anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke. I thank you that God, today is the day for every nation church of New York City that every single yoke is broken. Every single yoke, every pain, every rejection, every shame. The blood of Jesus washes away every pain. The blood of Jesus washes away every sickness, everything, whatever you came into this room with tonight. God says he's doing something new. God, we thank you that you're breaking things tonight in the name of Jesus. And Pastor Ron, I just feel like even for our church, we're going to the next level. It is time. We've come to declare to New York City that our God is alive, our church is alive, we are alive. God, we thank you for miracles in this room tonight. We thank you for deliverance in this room tonight. Whatever Penina has called you, I release you into your destiny. I release you into your purpose. I declare the light of God. I declare an open heaven over your life. Whatever it is that is confronting your destiny, tonight we just declare victory. There's victory. I just want you to say that with your own mouth. I have victory. I have victory with Jesus. I have victory with Jesus. I have victory with Jesus. Father, we thank you because what you've done tonight, the enemy will not undo it because you have perfected it for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.